Welcome to episode 23 of the Reading Cokes podcast. If you're a book lover who may be interested in joining our online book club, please visit our website at thereadingcove.com. For October 2012, we're discussing Cutting for Stone by Abraham Verghese. So a few Cove members are gathered for the podcast to share our thoughts on the story. Cutting for Stone is our 143rd pick, and it was chosen by Cove member Catherine. Oh, and I'm Millennia from Florida.
I'm Monica from Nebraska.
I'm Roberta from Georgia.
And we're just going to dive right into talking about Cutting for Stone. So why don't you guys kick us off? What did you think? Monica, did you just finish it as usual?
Yeah, I didn't really care for it. I spent about a week on the first part, the first 10, 12 chapters, talking about their birth and the Caesarean and the death of their mother, just dragged on and on and on.
Yeah.
And on. I'm thinking, how long can he write about this? And in so many different ways, it wouldn't stop.
I know.
I mean, it was, I didn't like it. I didn't even think the end was even worth
going through that.
Right. I didn't really care for the book.
And you, Roberta, I know this is the second time you've read it.
Right. Yeah. My, other book club, face-to-face book club did it. I gave it a B, but I said, I think it could have been edited. It could have been a much better book. It could have been edited down. There was a lot of repetition, as Monica is saying. And, with some of the situations, I think the thing I liked about it the best is I'm always intrigued by stories, you know, fictional stories that look into other cultures and other times. So I like the background and the history of that, because I knew very little about that, you know, area of the world and what had gone on. I mean, you might know the basic things about, I know about Haile Selassie, or however you pronounce it. When I was, you know, younger, you heard that name. But I knew very little about that whole area of the world and more than just the basic things. So I did like the historical parts of it.
Yeah, I did too appreciate the setting and learning about that culture and seeing Ethiopia in a different, from a different perspective than what we normally see here in America from TV commercials and stuff like that. So that part was interesting. I struggled with the first, I would say first 16 chapters, first 200 or so pages. I really was considering calling it quits and just telling everybody, you know what, I'm sorry, I gave it my best, but it's like torture, you know? I really felt like I was forcing and torturing myself reading something I absolutely was just not enjoying. And amazingly, once I hit like chapter 16, it's like the writing style completely changed. And I could, you know, I could get into the story a bit and kind of follow what he was saying. It was like once the twins were born, which took about 200 pages for that to happen, because the one scene of her being in the delivery room was, like Monica was saying, it went on and on. It dragged out for 200 pages because he took all these detours to give you the politics and the geography and everybody's backstory from India. And
right.
And I'm like, you know, this is just, I was bored stiff. And I kept thinking, okay, you know, can we get on with the delivery? And so when they were finally born, it got a bit more interesting. But and the other issue that I had with it was the point of view. I felt like the writing style was kind of beleaguered and kept me like once removed from the characters. I never connected with them, because in the beginning, all of this is happening from supposedly from Marion's point of view. And that just was illogical to me, because there's no way all this hearsay that he could have such great detail to paint these pictures of what took place in that delivery room and everything that happened with Sister Mary's migrating to Africa in such detail. It should have just been done in a third person narrative.
Right.
So that really bugged me and kept me from really being able to even connect with Marian or connect with Shiva, the whole story, you know, even after the first 200 pages, because I just thought that didn't really feel genuine. I don't know about you guys, if I'm the only one that bugged,
I think I was too caught up in the ew factor.
Yes, there was a lot of grossness.
Like the whole birth scene, I mean, the talking about her cervix and the details of the cesarean and the birth and the blood, the female circumcision and, you know.
Fistulas, there was such graphic, ew. It's like, was he just trying to, I mean, I can understand wanting to get the reader to, you know, make it real for the reader so they understand what that's like. But, does a fiction reader really need that?
No, sorry, you don't want to read about a female circumcision. It's just...
Or a fistula. It was in such detail, and a lot of the surgeries went into all this detail. And I just was like, ooh, you can't eat while you're reading it.
No. Definitely not. That's not something you thumb through at lunchtime.
No. So, of course, our listeners should have already read this book, but if you haven't, then you don't want to read it while you're eating.
Yeah, be prepared. Do it at some time when it's way past mealtime or you're even thinking about food.
Exactly.
Because I'm not one to get queasy easily, but I had to stay away from it, you know, when I came home for lunch or whatever when I was reading it.
Yeah.
I could understand, since this man had this, you know, background as a physician and all, that he wanted to explain that in great detail, but sometimes it was a bit much. I had to agree with you all.
Well, I think it was a very interesting pick from Catherine, because it starts off in a way that makes you think, oh, you know, no way. And then there are a lot of people who ended up loving it after that. So I think, you know, it's a very interesting book. I mean, there are so many people who love this book, and for years I've been hearing about it, and I had it on my wish list. People are just really, really, really drawn into Marian and Shiva's story.
I mean, like Roberta said, I liked the historical aspect, showing that time period where Sister Mary, whatever
Joseph prays.
Yeah.
We have to talk about how many times he used that woman's name in those first 200 pages.
Yeah.
It drove me nuts. I was like, are you serious? Why do you have to use her full name every time she's referred to?
Well, they I mean, growing up Catholic, they do that. We never called them that. I mean, we always omitted the Mary part. So it was Sister Joseph or Sister Claire, but really, like, one of them would get real picky. No, you have to call me Sister Mara Therese. And
yeah, but Sister Mary Joseph, even. But Sister Mary Joseph prays. Sister Mary Joseph prays. I mean, I'm like, okay.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah, we know her name. We get it. I don't know. There was something up with that. I'd love to ask the author what that was about.
Yeah. He might have been Catholic.
But I think she was the only one. Even the nun that she traveled over to Africa with that died, I don't think she was referred to with her full name.
Yeah, no, they don't even have last... I mean, they have last names still, but they're never referred to by their last name.
Yeah, that was weird. So any memorable scenes, anything that stands out for you guys? There were quite a few.
Well, I think the main thing with me is, even though they were twins and everything, it was the betrayal Marian felt after Shiva was the first one to have relations, as you would say, with, how do you say, Gannett.
I always called her Jeanette. I don't know if it's Jeanette or Gannett. Yeah.
That whole betrayal thing, which led to the... all the other horrible tragedies after that,
right.
that really stood out to me. You know, it wasn't totally Cain and Abel, but it just one thing started this whole ripple effect that ended in tragedy.
Yeah, and I thought that was so, I just didn't feel the weight. Marion's holding that grudge against him when, granted, he was in love with Jeanette, and I just don't understand why. Because they grew up together, fine. But what was so special about her that made him sustain this love all the way, all these years, all, you know, when he went to America, and he's just fixated on her. Okay, fine. He's in love with her. She begs Shiva to deflower her.
Yeah.
And then he hates his brother for almost forever until he gets sick.
Right.
I didn't feel it. I didn't feel the weight of that. I thought it was contrived, in other words, because it just felt... Go ahead.
Sorry. But, I mean, people do hold grudges for long times over things that we wouldn't, you know, personally feel that way about. And they even though they'd been through all this, seen all these medical things at the hospital, in a way they'd led pretty sheltered childhoods between the school they attended and how they were somewhat shielded by their foster parents, so to speak.
Right. Well, you have a good point, because it did seem kind of juvenile, and what you just said kind of explains that. Because here, you know, they're otherwise pretty well educated, but Marion holding on to that, you know, kind of boyhood, you know, jealousy, just and it wasn't because Shiva like purposely or maliciously slept with her. That's not how it went, you know.
No.
And he knew that. Yeah, I don't know, but you're right, people do hold grudges whether they are right about it or not, and I just didn't feel like that was something, you know. I like Shiva more, even though we didn't, you know, it's from Marion's point of view, and we didn't really get to know Shiva as well, I don't think. But I liked him better.
Well, he sort of marched to a different drummer.
Yeah.
Since he didn't learn, well, he has knowledge in there, but he didn't speak until later. Then when he did, it was like something very profound.
Yeah.
So, because at first I thought, oh, well, maybe, you know, this whole traumatic birth thing, maybe he was... somehow, you know, disabled, or they call it developmentally disabled, but he wasn't. He just didn't want to say anything till he had something worthwhile to say.
Yeah, apparently. Didn't he stop talking after they killed the puppies?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the scenes I remember. That was sad. I thought that was really, really sad. And then, of course, when Jeanette got the circumcision, that was just gross and horrible. Oh my God. And then her mom, when they found her.
That's why I said this whole little thing. One little incident led to a ripple effect for one graphic, awful tragedy after another.
Yeah. And then, you know, Jeanette didn't want her mother to tell Hema or Marion to know about what happened. And so she agreed to this circumcision. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. But female is much different than the male circumcision.
But it's not really circumcision for the women. It's not really about just removing skin. It's more about having an effect on their sexual nature.
Yeah.
Like with chemical castrations for men. Oh yeah.
It was so graphic.
I definitely skimmed a lot of those graphic scenes because it was just overmuch for me. Totally unnecessary.
And I'm not one to be grossed out usually, but this one, you know, and I've given birth, and like I could not read that birthing scene. I don't know.
And Thomas
like,
Stone.
You talk to an OB and like get a bunch of.
No, but I mean, and then Thomas Stone is there like a complete idiot. And he's completely lost his mind, and he's there with the clamp. And I mean, I'm picturing this and I'm like, what? Oh my God. Somebody get this man out of there. So thank God, what's her name? Hema shows up and gets him out of there, because it was like, what is he doing? He's going to kill them.
Yeah. And I was like, I mean, it doesn't take that long to do a cesarean. I mean,
yeah, but he wasn't in his right mind. He was. Like shocked. That's the other thing that I couldn't swallow, was that she would have been pregnant with twins almost to term, and nobody in a hospital would have even had a clue that she would have been that good at hiding it.
Yeah, I wasn't.
So I think it lost
either.
Me from
especially
there.
Especially your twins.
Yeah, exactly. And even no matter how meagerly you ate, and she didn't gain a whole bunch of weight, but I just can't see that. I mean, you're in a hospital with medical personnel. I can see if you were just in the nunnery, you know, and then, okay, you could say, well, maybe they wouldn't notice, but you're in a clinic or a hospital or whatever it was, and nobody notices, nobody picks up on this.
Yeah, that, I didn't get that part either. And I don't know. I just thought like 12 chapters, I think it was, I don't know how many pages, because on my Kindle it doesn't.
I think it was about
Kindle
first,
doesn't give me page numbers.
Yeah, I think it was about the first 200 pages.
But it was, I'm thinking, by like chapter 5, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they're still on this. And then chapter 10, and I was like, is this going to end? I mean, I can see maybe a chapter giving birth, but it drug on and on and on, and it like repeated itself and graphic details. And then even in the operation at the end with the liver transplant,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe people in the medical field might enjoy it better, but I thought it was kind of gross.
Yeah, I think so too. So Roberta, in the beginning, what did you think about that, the first 200 pages?
Well, as I said before, I think it could have been edited a lot more and made for a better book.
But it didn't lose you. It didn't, like, you didn't ever feel like...
Well, I felt like, well, this is like some other authors that seem to have a lot of exposition. For some reason, there's some authors that feel like they have to tell you everything about the thing endless detail.
Right.
But, you know, I'm more the one, I like a little detail, but I'm more, have been attracted to more recent books where they kind of cut to the chase, so to speak.
Right.
That give you a little bit of the backstory, but let's cut to the chase and move on, even if this is a saga over several, you know, decades. Because yeah. You just kind of feel like you're going through, you know, slogging through the mud or whatever, so to speak, to get to the heart of the story. So, but I said overall, it was an interesting story to me, and it, you know, interesting characters. I said different culture, but the editor, of course, I don't know what they do nowadays for editors and all, but it would have made for a book rather than a little bit lower grade. If there had just been a little bit better editing to it.
Yeah, I think the whole thing was reading like it was just ready to be edited. The beginning. But, you know, then again, you know, it works for a lot of people because there are
right.
so many people who just absolutely love and rave about this book. So,
well, some people do like a lot of detail.
Yeah, apparently. And it found its audience. It found its audience.
I guess I just don't understand the appeal.
Yeah, me neither. I was hoping Roberta could share some light on. Because,
what?
I mean, I understand like a few members in the group. We can share that with the listener. There are several members in the group who love it. And a couple people I remember saying that they cried. And so I would imagine, we haven't really gotten into the discussion yet, but I would imagine that it was, you know, Shiva's death that would cause, you know, people to feel emotional about the
right.
story. If I were emotionally connected to the story, then I guess I would feel really sad. But
right.
I, like I said, I never connected to the character. So it was just like, oh, okay, that happened. But I guess it is really sad that Shiva would donate to try to save his brother's life, his twin's life,
right.
and then succumb to complications and die after the operation. That is sad.
Yeah, it was sad to me, but not to the point of bringing tears, even the first time I read it. So, I mean,
right.
there was emotional tugs all along in the storyline, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the way things ended up for Marion with Jeanette, you know, she was just a lost cause.
Yeah. That was sad too, that you think she'd been scarred, you know, emotionally and physically all along. So it was tough.
I mean, I'm glad, I mean, in a way that needs to be told, but, you know, for a fiction book, maybe a little less graphic.
I agree, but throughout. Again, we're in the minority, I think. Because there are, again, a lot of people who absolutely loved it. So, you know, and me trying to get my mind around how you could love it. Because, I mean, the beginning, I was so going to sleep.
And, yeah, no, maybe it's become more of a graphic society. But people maybe aren't as disturbed by graphic content anymore.
Yeah, but I think it's more to do with the characters. I think that people connect with the characters.
Yeah,
well, yes.
You didn't know them for 200 pages because they were being born.
Yeah, you had to wait a while to get connected regardless.
Okay, so that's our take on Cutting for Stone by Abraham Verghese. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And as always, please leave us your comments. Stay tuned for our November episode, where we'll be discussing Blue Asylum by Kathy Heppenstall. See you next month. Bye.
Bye. Kathy. Bye. Bye.